Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning, and welcome back to Trigger Talk on this, icy day out there. I was hoping for snow, but instead it was ice. The truck was all covered with ice this morning when I came in. It's kind of flipping over to rain right now. But here we are, and it is December 18th, and so we got 1 week left until Christmas. So, and actually, we will be doing Christmas music shows during the next next week on Christmas. So this will be is that right, 25th? Yeah, this will be the last Trigger Talk of the year then. So at any rate, we're going to have all sorts of shows. Actually, Derek's going to do a Christmas music show, aren't you, Derek?
Yeah, that's right. I've got a Stone Cold Country Christmas music program that will air Christmas Eve night from 8 to 10, and then on Christmas Day afternoon from 2 to 4. And I will play songs from legendary singers like George Strait, Alan Jackson, and Reba McEntire.
That's cool. Actually, I just watched, I think I mentioned this last week, I watched a Christmas movie that had John Schneider and Reba McEntire on it. It was pretty good, actually. Typical. You know how the typical movies, they have all of these movies. We were watching one last night, my wife and I. We were watching Miracle in Motor City. I think it was a Lifetime movie. No, might have been a Hallmark. At any rate, some of these are Lifetime, and some of them are Hallmark, and some of them are Hallmark mysteries and movies and things like that. And, you know, it's like 2 minutes into it, she'll predict the story. You know what I mean? She'll go, okay, right, Derek? That you're shaking your head, yes, right? You know, okay, boy meets girl, misunderstanding, then they get it straightened out, then they fall in love. Okay, I just in 5 seconds just told you the theme of every Hallmark movie. But I do enjoy them. They have good, it's kind of like the Love Boat of movies these days. Remember on the Love Boat, they used to have all of the old actors, you know, you'd see, oh my gosh, isn't that Milton Berle? Isn't that Phyllis Diller? You know, Bing Crosby? Okay, they'd have all of these, I don't want to say has-been or washed up. I want to say senior actors that would rotate through. Well, now they all rotate through these holiday movies. So kind of fun, actually. And my wife was going to get me a pair of socks that says, you know, leave me alone. I'm on the bottom. It says, leave me alone. I'm watching Hallmark movies. So I hate to destroy my image of, people are out there going, why is Dick watching Hallmark movies? Well, because I like them. I like things like It's a Wonderful Life and Miracle on 34th Street. And a lot of the younger generation seem to think like the best Christmas movie ever is Elf. I don't know. Are you, Derek, are you an Elf fan?
Yeah, I like Elf. It's a nice, kind-hearted movie. It's got a lot of Christmas joy in it. And yeah, it's very fun to watch. And certainly Zooey Deschanel doesn't hurt either. She's a nice lady to look at.
That's true. So let's see. I want to thank everybody who stopped by and came by and donated toys last week at the Celine Walmart. I do want to apologize to the folks that were listening online because, boy, we had technical difficulties. Derek ably jumped in and would take over when we'd lose the signal and stuff. We got to figure out what's going on with that. I want to say, ending up using your iPhone as a hotspot doesn't always work in some of these buildings and stuff. So I don't know. And by the way, it's AT&T is who we had. And I think I get a kick. You look up the AT&T coverage map. And I'm sure this is true for everybody, Verizon and all these other ones out there. And I know a little bit about how they do those cell towers. They base it on how many calls are dropped, okay? And the state actually has rules that say you cannot stop a cell tower going in if they need it because of the number of dropped calls, okay? So you go to the coverage map and you look and you say, oh, well, gosh, it shows all of southeastern Michigan is covered. And then you zoom in and you find out that, like, from the 5G standpoint, yeah, boy, a lot of it's covered. Well, what is this little pinpoint of light blue that shows only 4G LTE coverage? And you get there and you zoom in and you zoom in and it's like at your house, you know? So it never fails. So, oh gosh, anyway, sorry about that, that we had some technical difficulties. And I did put the show files up. And if you want to listen to them, you can, if as best they are. They are only what Derek was able to get from us broadcasting in Walmart. So it's a little shorter. It's like an hour and 33 instead of an hour 44 or something like that. So obviously we lost about 11 minutes of broadcast there. Let's see. And it was nice to have some of the longtime listeners come by. We had Tom from Northfield Township stop by, and I want to give a shout-out to Tom and say thank you for coming by, thank you for the ballistic test, and thank you for the note sharing. He actually had a personal tragedy in the last couple of weeks where he lost his brother, and he was sharing that with me because I lost my father in October. And so, yeah, life is short, and make the most of it. Thanks, Tom. Our thoughts go out to you. Let's see. Why does that? We had a question come up, and it was interesting. All these people would come by and talk to us, and they'd give us gifts. And we had, oh gosh, I want to say Jeff Robbins, who he walked in, said hi, waved to us. On the way back out, he dropped off a shopping cart full of toys. Okay, I mean, so many cool toys, and that's just typical of the things he does. So I want to say thanks to listener Jeff there. Let's see. This was a question where somebody stopped by and goes, I want to know this. Why does the ATF form 4473 ask for my race and ethnicity? And I thought, you know, that's kind of outdated in this day and age, right? Well, actually, it's a modern implementation. It was not put in place until 2012 by Barack Obama, okay? And they changed it. Question number 10A says ethnicity, Hispanic or Latin, non-Hispanic or Latin, American Indian or Alaskan Native, Asian, Black or African American, Native Hawaiian or other Pacific Islander, and white. Now, why does it know? Why do they care? Okay, well, I went back and it says, I read this, the purpose for this requirement of prospective purchasers of firearms to identify their racial and ethnic background is to aid law enforcement in accurately tracing firearms found in crimes and better enable federal firearms licensees to identify the purchaser during the background check portion of the firearm transaction. To collect this information, the ATF was required to follow race and ethnicity standards and formats for administrative forms and records that established by the Office of Management and Budget, OMB. Oh, okay. So they put that out there, and it was Obama's ATF targeting Hispanic gun buyers on the new racist form. Okay, and then you go on, and it says... actually, this obviously didn't go anywhere, but in 2015, two representatives have submitted a bill in Congress that would ban the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives from collecting data related to a firearms purchaser's race or ethnicity. The freedom from intrusive regulatory enforcement of arbitrary registration mandates Act or Firearms Act. Very good. Don't you love the way these people come up with these acronyms for things? And you go, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, they take something, they call it Firearm Act, and then they have to come up with enough words to make it to make it work. Okay. Well done in the backronym there, it says. So Diane Black, from Tennessee, a Republican from Tennessee, and Ted Poe, a Republican from Texas, put in a bill to eliminate a controversial policy begun in recent years by the Obama administration that collects ethnicity and race data from firearms purchasers, new ones, okay? Well, that was 2015. I don't even know if they're still in Congress right now, but clearly it never went anywhere because it's still there. But that begs you to ask another question here. The gender X buyer must check male or female on the form. Oh, my goodness. That must be a lot of personal trauma for them when they go to buy a firearm and it says male or female.
Okay.
Yeah, to buy a firearm, you must be able to select a box on the 4473 that identifies his or her sex. Well, I think that right there is clearly. What if they're non-binary, or what if they're, you know, fluid sexual, or whatever the heck all of that is. You know, it's the old innie outie. If you got an outie, you're a boy. If you got an innie, you're a girl, okay? But there are only two choices, male and female. And according to the ATF, the buyers would need to properly identify him or herself so that the dealer could run the buyer's name through and sex through the National Instant Criminal Background Check System. So I guess it would have to be, okay, I go to buy a gun, I'm Richard Kupke, and I check male, okay? And then if they come back and it says, well, Richard Kupke, it's got things out here that says you're female or you're non-binary or whatever. Well, actually now the ATF is allowing states, matter of fact, some states have driver's license now that say binary and non-binary. So, it's pretty silly. There should probably be 47 choices for gender on the form. Matter of fact, it could be the a whole page worth of the form with all the different sexes that you could be. And by the way, I'm going to skip ahead. This made me laugh because I had looked this up and then I saw an article. This is not gun related, but there's a group out there calling for car crash dummy equity. They claim the male body is too favored in car crash dummies. And so it's going to end up they're going to have to use more, because there are millions of women dying each year in car crashes because of they're using a male dummy. Well, I got to say, I've seen dummies. I've seen car crash tests. Physically, I've seen them. I've been in the green building out at Ford where we tested dummies, okay? And, you know, they come in different sizes, and there are ones for, and by the way, I thought there is no difference between men and women according to this group, but boy, they want to have female car crash dummies. And I got to say, I have seen a lot of car crash dummies, and they don't have any genitalia on them, so how do they know what they are, okay? Maybe, and by the way, how would a car crash dummy identify itself as a male or female? I mean, maybe one day it feels like it's a male and one day it feels like it's a female. So we got Phil from Howell on the 4473. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good. How you doing, Dick? I've been lurking for a couple years listening to you, and it's the first time calling, actually.
Well, good. But instead of guns here, we're talking about non-binary stuff, right?
So. Yeah. And I'm an FFL and trainer out here in the Howell area. The new 4473 does have that option, the selection of non-binary.
Oh, it does? Well,
yeah.
Thank goodness.
My new 4473s have it. Yep.
I was going to lose sleep over that, you know. So
I know you were. Terrible, isn't it? So now you can rest assured.
Oh, good. Well, the world is safer place now.
Crazy, isn't it?
I don't know how many non-binary people are out there buying guns, but I really don't care. You know?
I don't either. Yeah, but they've updated it.
Yep. Yep. Well, good. Thanks for the information, Phil. Appreciate it.
You have a great day.
Yes. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, gosh. Well, thanks. I'm glad that we've got Phil out there in Howell who knows this. He's an FFL, and his new forms actually have non-binary on it. So, oh, thank goodness. Okay. Well, let's see what we've got. In addition to Phil out, who's an FFL in Howell, I don't know which store he's associated with or how he's an FFL, but maybe he's some have storefronts and some are our mail order and stuff like that. Let's see. Gun shows in Michigan. We've got today the Taylortown Gun Show in Taylor. The Novi Gun and Knife Show. Now, this is the Suburban Collection. So this will be your last chance to get something, and this would be a good place to go along with gun stores and things. We're going to talk about things to get your loved one who likes guns and some ideas for them. We'll talk about that a little later. But this a gun show might be a fun place to go and walk through and find something for the person who is interested in guns, and maybe you'll just find something unusual that will, you know. Matter of fact, I've got a couple. I have a couple of memes I need to put up. I don't think I put the garden gnome one up. There's a garden, an evil garden gnome with a AK-47 in a prone position. There's a bunch of garden gnomes that have guns that would be a perfect thing for somebody. Let's see. And then there's also the State Line Gun Show in Montpelier, Ohio, which is actually right on the border. Let's see. In Ohio, we've got the Miami Town. Oh, look at this. Elementary School Campus is where the Gun and Knife Show is. Outstanding. That's in Whitewater Township, Ohio. Montgomery County Event Center, the Dayton Gun Show, and the Akron Area Gun Show in Talmadge, Ohio, at the Summit County Fairgrounds, and the Washington Courthouse Special Ops Show, and it's at the County Fairgrounds at the Washington Courthouse. It's Washington Courthouse, Ohio, not at the courthouse. Okay. Let's see. In Missouri, we've got the Columbia Gun Show at the Columbia Elks, the Washington County Fairgrounds, Fayetteville, Arkansas, the DeSoto Gun Show at DeSoto, Missouri, and the KC Expo Gun Show. And that's, you know, it's good to see some of these back again. And by the way, New York, for Mike, out in Long Island. I don't know if this is close or not. Freeport Antique Gun and Militaria Show is today and tomorrow. So if you're not already in Phoenix, this is your last chance to get, last chance for this year, because it's the only gun show in December in New York, okay? We're sitting at 766,490 CPLs. Let's see. New survey shows truth about gun owners, okay? And this was, I started to talk about it last week, but when we are talking at the remotes like that, where people are stopping by and saying hi and asking questions, and actually some people, they forget that you're actually on the radio. Theron kept having to tell people, we're trying to do radio here, folks. We get off the track. We go down rabbit trails, let's say. So I started to talk about this, but this was interesting. It was a survey about gun owners, and it talks about some of their some statistics, like things like that many of the gun owners are actually, two of the largest amount of gun owners are in two large anti-gun states, California and New York. And it's actually because there are a lot of people out in the country in California, and also in all sorts in New York, especially upstate New York and stuff, where people get carry permits, okay? It's the city that's the problem, okay? The other thing is that about a third of all the gun owners in the survey report using a firearm for personal defense, okay? So they're carrying it for personal defense, and very interesting is that more than 80% of the armed defensive incidents ended without the defender having to fire a shot. So that's why, you know, there are so many, and I'll give you some statistics in a minute, so many people that carry firearms in the country, but they're not using them all the time. Well, just the fact that they have them are, let's say, stopping things in their tracks. When somebody is pumping gas and somebody accost them with a knife or gun, and you draw a firearm on them, chances are the other guy's going to back off, okay? Same thing with, you know, burglaries in the home. If you confront somebody, a home defender, you don't always have to fire, okay? Well, there's a whole bunch. 80% of those incidents that take place, assaults, burglaries, carjackings, stuff like that, 80% of them end without the person firing a shot, because the mere fact that they have the firearm is a deterrent. Okay, so here's the thing. There are, now people talk about, let's see, the amount of people in the country. You might go, oh, well, there's 330 million people in the country, something like that. Okay, well, actually, there's 218 million that are older than 21, because all those kids out there are not supposed to be carrying guns, okay? So at any rate, there are, I want to say, 81,400,000 adult gun owners that took part in this survey. The population of adults over 21 is 218 million. Actually, when they went through, they asked percentages of people how many people carry their gun and their frequency of carry. And out of that, let's see, 9.1% carry, averaging 90% of the time between 80 and 100. So they averaged 90% of the time, 9.1% carried always, okay? And often, being 50 to 65% of the time, it was about 6.9%, okay? And then sometimes, being 20 to 50%, 19% of the people carry sometimes. And then 10%, or I'm sorry, 21% carry only in dangerous situations. Now, how you know what is a dangerous situation? You might say, well, I'm only going to carry when I go into downtown Detroit. Okay, well, what about Lincoln Park? Okay, or what about Ypsilanti? Or what about, what is it Theron used to say, the mean streets of Livonia, okay? So you don't know when there's going to be danger. So relying on that. Now, you do know that maybe if you're going to go out to go to a convenience store at 1 o'clock in the morning to get a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread, and you're going to stop at the gas station, you're kind of placing yourself in a situation where that, you might say, well, that could be a dangerous situation. But you don't know, because these things can happen at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in Ann Arbor, okay? So you don't necessarily know. And then 43% of the people who have CPLs never carry. They maybe got it. That's actually why when I look at the numbers, we see people that, you know, they may have gotten it, and then they've decided, I don't feel like carrying, or they've decided that they are too concerned about the legal ramifications or something like that. Or maybe they got it because they went with a buddy or they went with their spouse or something like that, but they don't really carry. So 43% of them don't really carry. But actually, so that boils down to, on any given day, and it went by the percentages and the percentage of the adults in the country that have them, there are 17,439,950 individuals carrying on any given day. 17.5 million carrying. And you would think from the anti-gun people, oh, the blood will be running in the streets. But it's not. Because, first of all, 80% of them, if they have a defensive action, don't even fire. And the ones that do, if it's actually a good shoot and stops the bad guy, you don't hear about it because the media doesn't want to talk about those things. So at any rate, very interesting. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And let's see. What I was just reading an article, and interestingly enough, it says, illegal drugs, not legal guns, are the leading cause of death in adults 45 and younger. So I think we just need some common sense drug control. You know, like, let's just make them illegal, and then that, oh, wait a minute. They are illegal drugs, so I guess that didn't work, just making them illegal to, so, yeah. Well, now I'm in a quandary. I don't know what to do about it. Let's see. Okay, 17 gun firms flee to friendlier states, okay? And I've been talking about this kind of piecemeal. Every week or every month or every 2 months, some big company ups and moves from New York or Connecticut or New Jersey or Maryland or whatever and moves to a state where they are gun-friendly. And I saw an interesting article about that, and it gave a different point of view. It said it's sad that these what did they call it? The Gun Valley. It's in like Connecticut and stuff where all of the original, some of these companies have been there since like the 1780s and stuff like that, building guns since the birth of our nation. And because in the Northeast is where, you know, our colonies were settled first. And here they are. The states are all coming up with laws against their guns. And like Smith & Wesson actually pulled out because they said their restrictions that the state was going to put on them would have, eaten into 60% of their sales because they don't want those evil assault weapons and magazines that hold greater than 10 rounds and blah, 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 blah. And so they said it's really sad that we're not really winning the war. If the companies are up and moving to gun-friendly states, well, it's too bad because they lost the battle in their home state. And I want to say, well, you know, eventually, yeah, you'll win the battle because we'll get the guns that we want. They'll be made by people who want them, who want the jobs. And the people in the high-tax, low-gun, high-crime states up there will just their taxes will keep going. Eventually, they're going to have to tax them 100% to pay the bills because all the smart people moved out of their states, right? So let's see. The gun industry is warning liberal states that pushing anti-gun policies and taxes will speed up an already escaped weapons makers to friendlier states such as South Carolina, Tennessee, and Texas. Well, there's a bunch of them listed, and I actually thought that I would go through and tell you by state, okay? Unfortunately, none of them are going to Michigan, especially with Gretch, Big Gretch, our governor out here. But Alabama first. I guess these are in alphabetical order. Alabama, Remington Outdoor Company moved much of its production from New York to Huntsville. Kimber expanded production to Troy, New York, over Yonkers, and it later relocated its corporate headquarters to Alabama. And actually, some of them, like Smith & Wesson, of interest, this is one of the ones that I was thought was interesting, is that they moved all of the production of the guns that would have had sanctions against them by the modern sporting rifles, the semi-automatic rifles of any type that can take detachable mags, things like that. They moved that to other states, but they kept the revolvers because of the foundry and the skilled labor that it takes. They kept the revolver production in their home state. So interesting there. At least I actually think they should pull the whole thing and all of the jobs and all of the revenue and taxes and things that go with it, because you're rewarding them if you're keeping your headquarters there and you're keeping your 6 and 7 capacity and even 9 capacity revolvers there. and just moving the high-capacity stuff out. Let's see, Florida. Darkstorm Industries is relocating production from Oakdale, New York, to Titusville, Florida. Iowa. Les Barr moved from Restrictive, Illinois, to LeClaire, Iowa. Lewis Machine and Tool Company left Illinois after 40 years to relocate to Iowa in 2019. Actually, my friend John has one of the ARs, Lewis Machine and Tool one. Let's see. Mississippi. Olin Corporation's Winchester Ammunition Factory moved from East Alton, Illinois, to Oxford, Mississippi in 2011. North Carolina, Sturm Ruger expanded production in Mayodan in 2013. Pennsylvania, Carr Arms moved its headquarters to Creeley, Pennsylvania from New York after the latter state rushed through passage of the SAFE Act. South Carolina, American Tactical Imports relocated 100 jobs in its manufacturing from Rochester, New York to South Carolina. PTR left Connecticut. I have a PTR 91. I love that rifle. PTR Industries left Connecticut for AYNOR in 2013, where it set up shop. So I've got one that mine was still made in Connecticut, but now they're all moved down there. Okay. And that's a PTR 91 precision tactical rifle, I think, or a precision tactical rifle 91, which is like an HK 91. In 308, outstanding rifle. And I've got a primary weapon system compensator on it that reduces the recoil by 50%. Man, I can tell you, it's like shooting a 223 almost, but it's a 308. Let's see, Texas. Mossberg expanded production in Eagle Pass, Texas, instead of growing it in New Haven, Connecticut. And Colt Competition moved from Canby, Oregon, to Breckenridge, Texas. There's somebody leaving Oregon. Ah, yeah, they're pretty anti-gun up there. Not the state isn't, but the the politicians are, okay? Magpul moved to Wyoming, left Boulder, Colorado, to move to Laramie, Wyoming. Weatherby's announced during the SHOT Show that they're moving from California to Sheridan, Wyoming. Accessory maker Hi-Viz is moving from Fort Collins, Colorado to Laramie. Stag Arms announced in 2019 it's moving to Cheyenne from New Britain, Connecticut. So pretty cool. And I think that's a win for the states that are still pro-gun and pro-business, by the way. But I don't see that as a defeat. That I want to say I'm reading a series of books. They're called the Kelly Turnbull System Kelly Turnbull series by Kurt Schlichter, and it's about the U.S. kind of breaking up into a red country and a blue country. And it's got, the West Coast is blue and the East Coast is blue and everywhere in between, except a couple of states like Illinois and Wisconsin and stuff. They're all red. They're all blue. Everything else is red. And it's interesting. Very good writing. You would love it because everybody's talking about, like, when you meet somebody, you go, well, my preferred pronouns are z, zi, zing, or whatever they are. I don't even know how that works. But the point is it makes fun of all the wokeness. So I highly recommend it. I think the first one is called second one's called Wildfire. Split, Crisis, Collapse. It's like a six or seven book series, and I'm probably, I've got two left. So let's see. Gun rights advocate shares testimony, and they kept being interrupted. Amy Swearer, who works for the Heritage Foundation and focuses on gun rights, was talking at a congressional testimony, a judicial committee, about gun violence and things going on, and she started talking about Chicago. And they kept being interrupted by Dick Durbin. Okay, well, no, that's not true. In Chicago, we don't have any problem. They can't admit it. Let's see, we have got Ed from Ypsilanti on Kelly Turnbull. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Dick. Oh, man, that's a good series. A friend of mine at church turned me on to the first one that I read. My goodness, People's Republic.
Yes, that's it.
Man, I was sitting there reading it on the couch while the news is playing, and I'm listening to Chuck Schumer, and I'm reading this guy who's, you know, it's one of the characters in the People's Republic who's plotting and you know, how, you know, one of the socialists. And man, this is so real. It's scary. It's just scary.
Absolutely. Everything on it from, and by the way, Kelly Turnbull's kind of like an operative, right, is the way
to put it.
Definitely. And he's got, he starts out in the first book, he's actually going into the blue states to help retrieve people out who are stuck and they can't get out and stuff. And actually in those states, they have to have fences and border walls to keep people in. What does that remind you of? Okay. and so it's just an outstanding series, but it's like, you know, the president of the United States might be Bill de Blasio. And now I'm reading one where they're talking about, who is it? What's her name? Elizabeth Warren. And I mean, all these people that they're talking about are real people, and they're real Democrats, and they're real gun idiots. You know what I mean? So it's kind of fun, isn't it?
Have you read Indian Country?
Oh, yeah, that was good. Yep.
Man, is that good. I mean, and it could come to all that. That's just so realistic.
Yep.
And the tradecraft is so good in there, too. And his reliance on a Kimber, you know.
Oh, and his Wilson Combat, he loves that. And
yeah.
He's a 1911 guy, isn't he?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
but, man, it's just good. I'm glad you're reading it. And that you mentioned it.
Yeah.
Really good.
It is a good series. It's called the Kelly Turnbull series, and it starts out with People's Republic, and it's got five or six or seven books in it. I forget how far I'm in it right now, but I'm on the fourth or fifth one right now.
I had to take a break. It was starting to get on my nerves.
Well, I do that, too. I kind of sometimes read those kind of books, and then I switch to, like, Clive Cussler, which is actually kind of fantasy, kind of.
Fantasy.
I love those. I alternate with that, and then actually, I just got through reading what's the name of that guy? He wrote like Killing Patton and Killing. He's on.
O'Reilly.
Yeah, O'Reilly, yeah.
Yeah.
He writes a bunch of books like that. So I alternate between biographies and history, and I'm always reading a book. And that's different than the younger generation. Many of them don't read anything. I get a kick about some of my grandsons don't read. My son read, and he read, he loved the Harry Potter series and different things like that. But nowadays, kids just don't seem to read. I'm so glad that my youngest grandkids, we read and read and read to them all the time, and they are reading. They'll pick up books and start to read. So I want to say you got to keep their minds on some traditional things and keep them learning. Otherwise, they're going to be just buried in these video games and stuff. So
I put my reading on the back burner maybe a couple of years ago. And just because of time constraints, it's easier to watch movies with my wife. And then I started having to read some books for people I was having on my show. You know, because, you know, if you're going to talk about what they wrote, you got to read their book. And so
right.
Now I'm buying books on Amazon, having them delivered. And then a friend of mine wrote a book, and I've been putting it off. It's called White Powder. And it's about the CIA in Laos and the cocaine trade in the 60s. And, man, it's really, really good, and it's a true. It's basically a true story, hidden in, you know, fake names.
Yeah. It's kind of a lost art, and I do know, like my wife, I finally got her to read some Kindle stuff, but she still likes, you know, paper.
And, yeah, same here.
Yeah, and but I end up reading with a Kindle because I read into the nighttime and I don't want to keep her awake.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep the light on, then it interferes with her sleeping. So I can use the Kindle and turn it down real low and keep reading, you know. So,
you know, what's funny, though, about Kindle is I had some Kindle books. And when Amazon canceled out Parler, You know, I canceled my Amazon account in protest and didn't realize, hey, I just lost all my Kindle books.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you got to watch that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I'd rather have paper. It's something that will be there when yep. something else isn't.
And you know what? I found a book that you gave me that I've had for a year probably.
Will you read it, please?
It's called The Gray Something.
The Gray
it?
Man.
The
oh,
Gray
it's
Man.
A good book.
Yeah, I got to read
That's it. That's part of a series, too. A friend of mine wrote those.
Oh. Do you know, I remember reading, we had very long time ago, 10 years ago when I started the show, there was a guy who wrote a Patriot something book, I forget, but we actually had him on the show, and he visited us out at Ann Arbor Arms and stuff when we did a remote. And, you know, there's a lot of good authors, and nowadays, actually, one of the first books that, Robert from Wixom, if you're out there, Robert, give a call in. He did a book called Hey, That's My Hand Grenade, Get Your Own, about his
you talking about that.
Yeah, about his experiences in Vietnam. And I got to say, some of the things with Amazon and some of the online publishers, it has allowed people who are outstanding authors who normally wouldn't have the wherewithal to be published. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Gray Man, the guy who wrote that, doggone it, it's a friend of mine. I can't remember his name at the moment. Jim Curtis. He's written some Westerns, and he was doing some real research. You might find it interesting to have him on sometime to talk to him about the research he did on Old West weapons. He's writing Westerns now also.
Oh.
And
maybe he can help Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. All right, well, great. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks.
Merry Christmas.
You too, Ed. See you later. Thanks. Bye. Ed from Ypsilanti, and he has an outstanding show that's on right after mine, so everybody needs to stay tuned in to Wham. Take that knob off. I always say this. Take the knob off your radio and throw it away. You don't need to change do radios even have knobs anymore? Take the buttons off. Glue the buttons down so that you can't change it off of 1600 or 92.7 FM. I got a kick. Who was this from? This was from, what's her name? Actress Mia Farrow. This is one of these memes that I'm going to post this week on my website, which is TriggerTalkRadio.com, and that's where you go to download the podcasts and stuff. But I usually post memes and things like that, and this one this week, it's got a kid, and it's Disney did a poster, and they are doing a reboot on the Home Alone series. They call it Home Sweet Home Alone, and it shows a kid, and it says, "No parents, no problem." And the kid is holding like a Nerf gun and a super soaker, okay? So the kid, and he's got, you know, like a bandolier across him and stuff. But he's, you know, obviously it's a kid and he's playing with toy guns. Well, former actress Mia Farrow called out Disney over posters Home Alone rebooting it featuring a white male kid holding two toy guns. In this age of mass shootings in schools, why two huge guns? She tweeted on Wednesday alongside an image of the poster. Why? Farrow said surely Disney could have found a more positive image than a white male kid carrying two huge guns. And in a second follow-up tweet, she said, really, Disney? Okay, so I want to say, first of all, Mia Farrow, you know, she talk about washed up has been old actresses, okay? But, okay, if you want to make a point about a kid and they're holding guns, and why two huge guns? What if they just hold two small guns? Is that okay, Mia? But then why do you have to call it out being a white male kid? Would it have been okay if it was a black female? I you know, this wokeness and stuff with these. And by the way, why do we even care what a washed up, dried out, has-been old actress thinks about anything? Or a young, pretty actress, for that matter. Not, Zooey Deschanel? That's who. Derek obviously likes Zooey Deschanel. So, yeah, he's shaking his head. Yes. I think she's cute, too. Let's see. Now, there's another meme that I saw, and this was from a person that was talking about named Tony, and it said she thinks that in order to prevent mass shootings, that and this is her like when a tweet or something. I don't do tweets. I don't care about tweets. What do I care that about somebody who tweets something? I don't care. Okay, but this one was funny. So this Tony, she goes, they should make getting guns as difficult as it is to vote. And then the person replied, and they go, what, you want them to mail them out to everyone? That made me laugh. I said, well, yeah, it used to be, it's easier to vote than it is to buy a gun and stuff. Well, not now. Now they'll just mail them out to everybody. And by the way, you used to be able to get, you actually still can get a gun through the mail from the CMP, the Civilian Marksmanship Program. They will actually ship it to you, to your front door. But in the old days, and I was looking, my mom's not listening to this, so I can tell you, my wife came up with this idea. They have a Christmas catalog from 1946 that's a reprint that we ordered for my mom because she would have been like 9 years old. And that is, a time in her life when she would have been a young kid and living on a farm, you looked at the Sears catalog all the time. Well, the Sears Christmas catalog was pretty cool. And it had 22s in it, okay? And actually some 30-06s and things like that too. But you could order, matter of fact, from the Montgomery Wards, Monkey Wards, as we called it, Monkey Wards, Sears catalog, Penny's catalog, you could order guns. And they shipped it to you. And it was delivered in a long paper bag or box, okay? No guessing what's in there, okay? But nowadays you can't do that, of course. So now we're going to spend the second hour of the show talking about things that that you might want to get your significant other who likes guns for Christmas, or maybe if you want to drop hints. You don't have much time left. You only got a week, so it's hard to order things and get it in time, although you can still get out to the big box stores. You can get out to your local, go to Johnson's and Adrian, go to Ann Arbor Arms, go to the Firing Line, go to any of these stores that are around, that brick and mortar stores, they will carry stuff. Go to Cabela's. You can find almost all the stuff we're going to talk about from Cabela's too. So, but here, Savage just came out this week with a new pistol. Savage, you say, is making a pistol? Yes, they are. It is a bolt-action, large-format bolt-action pistol using the Savage 110 receiver and frame and a short pistol barrel. And it's offered in .223, in 6.5 Creedmoor, 300 Blackout, 308 Winchester, which is 7.62x51, and 350 Legend. Oh, 350 Legend. That would make it a good deer hunting pistol. That would be really cool. And we'll talk about that. It really looks neat, and it seems to be fairly reasonable price. So I want to say it might open up pistol deer hunting to people who didn't like the idea of using a 44 mag or something like that. This actually is, it looks like a bolt action, and it is a bolt action. It's actually designed pretty neat. So we'll talk about that in a little bit, and then we'll talk about what to buy for the gun owners in your life for the holidays. So I have list after list after list, and we'll have a lot of fun talking about it. Maybe some books, or maybe if you've got something that you suggested that I didn't want to bring up or didn't bring up, you call in and suggest too. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham! Talk 1600. We'll be back after the second hour in a few minutes.
Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
And we're back for the second hour of Trigger Talk Radio. And this being our last hour of the year, I guess, because next week we're going to be playing, because it's actually Christmas Day. And I know you think, gosh, can you believe it? Dick and Derek are going to take the day off and be with their families instead of being here. But no, we're going to have Christmas music shows on. Derek's doing a Christmas music show on, what is it again, Derek?
It's the Stone Cold Country Christmas Special. It'll air Christmas Eve night from 8 to 10, and then Christmas Day afternoon from 2 to 4.
And it's all country Christmas music, right?
Right. Yep.
That'll be fun. And we were talking at the break a little bit, and I asked Derek, what's your favorite Christmas movie, Derek?
Home Alone.
Home Alone.
Yep, the original with Macaulay Culkin, Joe Pesci, and Daniel Stern.
Yeah, and that made me think of, I saw an article, a story on the news, and did you know that the people that own that house have opened it up as a bed and breakfast, and that you can actually go and stay there? And they've got, like, the paint cans hanging from the ceiling on the stairs, and I mean, all this stuff, they have it set up to replicate some of the stuff from the movie. So wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
So I think that would be fun, too. And it made me think about the movies that I like. And you can go down that rabbit hole and just keep adding and adding. But the ones I like and have to watch, I have three favorite movies that I have to watch every year. And It's a Wonderful Life is number one. And Miracle on 34th Street is number two. And then I like White Christmas. Yeah, the one with Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye and Rosemary Clooney, who was quite a looker back then. Now, later on, she was twice the woman she was before. But I got to say, I really like that movie. And I went a couple of years ago. Now, they haven't done it since COVID, unfortunately. But at the Michigan Theater, they have a showing of the White Christmas movie as a sing-along. And it's got, remember, now this will tell my age. Do you guys remember Mitch Miller, Follow the Bouncing Ball? When they would have the music and it would have the words and the ball would go along with it. It would be, I'm dreaming of a, and I'm showing the ball. You guys can't see this on the radio, I know, but I've got like a ball bouncing over the words, okay? Follow the Bouncing Ball. And it was packed and everybody was wearing Christmas hats and it was so much fun. I went with my daughter-in-law and her family because my wife is not that big into that movie, but my daughter-in-law is. So I went with her and her mom and her sister, and we had a blast. And so I wish they would do that again. And I also want to mention, I don't think I mentioned it already. My mind is a blank sometimes. I went to a Christmas concert Thursday in Grand Rapids. My wife and I took our oldest daughter to see a concert at Van Andel Arena, and it was Pentatonix. And I don't know if you guys know about Pentatonix or have seen them. They have outstanding Christmas music. They, in particular, though, what's unique about them is that they are an a cappella band, okay? Or they call it a band, but they're all voices, okay? And they actually mix in a few in this show, which was 2 hours long. It had no instruments 99% of the time, but they actually did use a piano for one song, and one of the players played a cool electronic cello too. It was really neat, and somebody had drums. I mean, it was, but normally it is strictly their voices, okay? And they have, sopranos and tenors and altos and a bass man and a guy they call a beatboxer. And he's the guy that does all those voices, that go, oh, that kind of stuff with the, and it was funny, but it was wonderful. So I would, and they made it onto the scene 10 years ago, and they're still mostly all together. They've switched out one person because they travel so much that it was tough on his family. But their most famous Christmas song that they first did was called "Mary, Did You Know?" And it was excellent. But this, they have this Christmas tour called Evergreen. Now, they're playing in, they're in Minneapolis today, and then they're going to Texas for till the end of the year, but because they're from Texas. But look them up. Look them up on YouTube. Look up their music on Pandora or Amazon Music or whatever you use as a music app. But Pentatonix, Pentatonix. They are pretty cool. So let's see. I was thinking about the guns and the things. I started to talk about this last week, but we got interrupted a lot when we were at the Walmart. And I heard Dennis do a promo today thanking everybody who stopped by and delivered gifts or money and things like that for the kids. We really appreciate it. And I was there and we talked about a multi-tool, so I don't need to go over that again. Targets, and I particularly recommend, first of all, nobody has enough targets, okay, because you always use targets, and they're not reusable. Even if you got the little pasters that you put over the holes, the better thing to do is have more targets, okay? And you know what's interesting? I don't normally use a target bigger than, maybe if I'm at 100 yards, I'll use an 8-inch target. At 50 yards, I'll use a 6-inch target. 25 yards, or even in a, and if I'm in a, like 25 feet, you know, in the pistol house shooting like self-defense kind of things, I'll usually use a 3-inch target. But what I recommend are, they're called splatter targets. And there's a couple different brands. Birchwood Casey makes one called Shoot and See. There's one called Dirty Bird, I think. And what it is like the targets will be, they look like they're black with lines on them and a little red dot in the center. But when you hit them, they actually flake off the black so it's easier to see where the bullet is going. So it's a great visual thing. It gives you instant feedback. You're not having to necessarily go forward to check and see where you hit because you can see it from where you're shooting. They're very good. So Birchwood Casey Shoot and Sees are my favorite. And I would say if you're going to get some, it's good to get maybe an assortment. If your person shoots rifles, then maybe you'll want 6 or 8-inch ones. If they're mainly shooting pistols, it's not bad to have a 6-inch for that too, because if you're doing target shooting for defensive shooting, then you're actually, you don't try to hit the bullseye. You are essentially shooting for defensive accuracy, which is about the size of an 8-inch paper plate in the center of mass of somebody. So a 6-inch target is perfect for practicing for that because you don't really want them all in the same hole. It's nice to have them spread out a little bit, okay? Six-inch for that, and then 3 inches are good, too, if you're taking just, slower aimed shots as opposed to double taps and multiple shots. Ammunition, okay? Might seem like it's boring, but no, it's not, because when I think about it, when I would get a box of 25 or like a box of 50 22s or something like that, especially if it's a younger person. And I actually, when I talked about guns and shooting and younger person a couple of weeks ago, I had my first ever negative call. He didn't get on the air. He was just talking to Derek, but he was disappointed because I was talking about gifting a gun, and we'll talk about that again today. But it was too close after the Oxford High School shooting and stuff. I'm talking about responsible parents and responsible shooting, okay? We're not talking about buying your troubled kid a 9mm and leaving it unprotected in your bedside stand, okay, so he can take it to school. We're talking about responsible shooting. And that includes having the firearms locked up, which is why actually one of the things that you can get sometimes for somebody might be a safe. And I want to say there are different kinds of safes. There are ones that are for the car. There are ones that are for a desktop or under a bed. That are secured, well to the desktop or secured well to the bed, so that they can't be just picked up and taken. But Hornady makes some outstanding gun safes that are hand gun safes. They hold one or two handguns in them. Many of them some of them have biometrics where they now use, they have like a keypad. So you might be able to put in your a pattern or a certain number, but also they have a fingerprint reader. And I want to say that is both good and bad. If it works, great, great. If it for some reason isn't working well because your hand's sweaty or you've injured your hand and you can't use your finger on it or something like that, you got a Band-Aid on, then some of them have a card reader that, like you can wear a wristband at night, and then you would just put your hand over it and it pops open and stuff. So there are a number of things like that are good ways to responsibly store your gun. But for ammunition and stuff and for youngsters, there is nothing like a brick of 22. I can tell you back when it was like they were $8.95, that was pretty reasonable. Now I see bricks going for $39.49. I think I saw some like Norma Tactical or something for like $79 for 500 rounds. I'm going, come on, give me some old Federal Bulk for, I think that's like $29 now. So used to be $7.49 at Walmart. But at any rate, think of the fun that you will have with your youngster, because it won't just be them going. You'll be taking them out. Or maybe they're older. Maybe you're out rural and they go squirrel hunting, or they go plinking on a range you've got set up. Think of the hours and hours of fun that even 50 rounds of 22 can give. Now, if somebody is a defensive shooter, you know that they shoot 9mm. Well, that's fine. 9 or 40 or 45. I would say you don't want to give them defensive ammunition. And the reason is because that's kind of a personal thing, and it varies by gun. Okay. It could very well be that, if you have a Glock, it pretty much will eat any 9 that you're going to put in it. But some of the other guns can be a little more picky because the different shapes of the projectiles, whether they've got an initiator in them, or they are more blunt, or they what's called the ogive, the shape of the front part of the projectile could be different, and it might not feed well on the particular gun that you use because of the angle of the feed ramp or something like that. So for defensive ammunition, you let the person buy their own, okay? But if it's for practice ammo, you're pretty good, pretty much good to go on that. And a case of 9mm or 40 or 45 would be most welcome in this day and age. When it comes to a new firearm, this is tricky due to firearm laws, but you can purchase a gun for somebody, but I would say you're better off, and by the way, if you are purchasing the gun, you're purchasing it for yourself, and you are gifting it to that person. So when you fill out the form 4473 and you dutifully answer your non-binary and what race or ethnicity you are, you do have a questionnaire that will ask you, are you buying this gun for yourself? And if you say no, because in your mind you're thinking, I'm going to give it to my grandson for his first shotgun or something like that, then that'll be flagged as a straw purchase and it'll stop, okay? But if you are buying it for yourself and then you are gifting it to that person, that's perfectly fine, okay? As long as that person is not a prohibited person. So if you are thinking, oh, I'm going to buy one for Freddie because he's getting out of prison next week and I want him to be able to have a... No, he's a prohibited person because he's a felon, okay? And if you buy a gun and gift it to a felon, then you are guilty of a straw purchase. So you do need to understand what you're doing, okay? Let's see. The other thing is that I've suggested before, you're better off to maybe, like if you have a favorite gun store that you go to or you know they do, that maybe you give them a certificate or a card that says, good for one gun at such and such, okay? And then you go with them because that's also very personal as well, that they enjoy... When it's a handgun or a rifle or something like that, fit how it comes up, how it mounts, they call it, like if it's a long gun, is all very important. Okay, and so so at any rate, it's better off and to share the experience with them to go ahead and go with them while they're picking out their new pistol or their new rifle. Okay, we have got. Jim from Chelsea on gifting a firearm. Hi, Jim.
Hi. You failed to mention in the way of, and I don't want to use the term gun or firearm, but pellet pistols and pellet rifles.
Ah, okay. And those are actually not considered firearms. So,
no, they're not. Because you can buy them through the mail.
That's right. And you don't have to do a registration on them and stuff. But I should have mentioned that. They are, especially for a youngster, they are an outstanding way to start out. And even for an adult, they're very accurate and very reasonable to shoot, aren't they?
Oh, they're terrific. And there's so many different kinds. I hate mentioning a... supplier, but Pyramid Air has a nice little book that they send out every so often that lists, and they've got literally hundreds of different pellet rifles and pellet pistols.
I have heard of Pyramid Air, and yes, they are very respected in the industry.
Yes, they are, and there are some that are quite powerful. In fact, if you want to look on YouTube, you'll find people shooting wild pigs with pellet rifles.
I have heard of that. And, yeah, it's all a matter of energy, right? And if you have enough velocity and enough weight on the projectile, you're fine. And whether it's fired by a gas that explodes or by compressed air.
That's right. I've got one that's a brake barrel, so it's a spring.
Right.
And that's quite powerful. You can get those in different calibers also. You can get the standard 177, 22, I think 32, and up to 50 caliber. And those things are pretty stout.
They really are. And they are, I want to say, there is actually, talk about precision. Now, those are expensive ones, but there are ones in Olympics and stuff that they use, right? And competition that are extremely accurate. So you're not giving up anything. Now, you might, you're not going to have that level of accuracy in a $200 one, but it's going to be more than adequate for plinking and tin cans and target shooting and small varmint shooting, right?
That is correct. And I know when I started out, I was like 12 years old, and my parents bought me a pump-up pellet rifle.
A Benjamin did it.
And my friends all got them for Christmas, and that's back when people didn't run in terror when they saw anything that looked like a rifle in a kid's hands. We'd go squirrel hunting right in our local neighborhood because the squirrels were never hunted there.
Yep.
So, I got everything from pheasants to rabbits to squirrels, and some of my best memories are going out to squirrel hunting with my dad. with the pellet gun.
That, you know, and that is so true, because everything I'm mentioning, whether it's a firearm, and like you did with the air guns and things, and by the way, there are ones that are pre-charged, that have a reservoir that you charge with a compressor or with a pre-charged bottle. And
yeah, those are the PCPs, pre-charged pneumatics.
Yep.
And those are terrific.
Yep, and so there's so many different kinds, but you're not just giving a gift and stuff. Like you mentioned, you're giving memories, because you remember going out with your dad or your grandpa and the buddies that you used to go out with. It's making memories, right?
That's correct. Especially my dad would get laid off from work. He was a carpenter. And we take those days, and there was a woods right across the street from us, and we would go hunting.
Yep. Yeah, good times. And that's what gets lost in this all this anti-gun rhetoric and stuff out there, is that there are, and by the way, though, it also was that it was a different time, and that people had morals and good common sense back then, too.
Well, yeah, and they weren't fed fear by the liberals that, you know, guns are evil and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah.
So the people that have them, that's just nutty.
Yep. Well, Jim, thank you for reminding me about air guns. And I want to say there are, you mentioned, like, from Pyramid Air, every once in a while, usually there's one gun show, usually in Kalamazoo, and then there's one in Findlay, Ohio every year. There's a specific air gun show, and I usually mention those so that people who are interested in them can go. You also can get, I want to say there's a couple of brands that are more commercial, like Gamo, and let's see, what's one of the others? I've got a Gamo, I've got a Beeman's, I've got a... what's the other big brand? But there are commercial ones that you'll find at places like at the big box store, too. And you can get them in 177 caliber, like Jim mentioned, and also you can get them in 22 caliber. And then there's even some bigger ones out there now. I've seen 25s, and you mentioned up to 50, right, Jim?
That's correct.
And by the way, Lewis,
that's a big chunk of lead to be throwing down range.
I want to say, if you don't, I forget the name of it now. Somebody will probably call and remind me. But Lewis and Clark, on their trip across the United States, used a 50 or 70 caliber one, and it amazed people because it was a repeater. It was, you would pump it up, and the stock, which was round, was like a pre-charged chamber, and you could shoot, you know, dozens of rounds without having to recharge it, right?
That's correct.
Yep. How cool. Thank you for reminding me, Jim. Thanks for listening, too.
Yes, no problem.
Okay, bye now. Have a Merry Christmas.
Bye.
So let's see. Range time, and that could be, I mentioned this the other day, range time is a good thing to buy people because, you know, if they've got a card that says that you've got, you know, six pre-punched hours or something like that, that you can go and it's like, instead of going, I don't want to spend money on that today. And you go, well, I've already got a card. I'll just go to the range. So range time, training I mentioned. And, interestingly enough, one of these lists here talks about a country club. And I thought, that's interesting. Instead of calling it a country club, they're calling it a gun tree club. And it's about, you know, like if, oh, Washtenaw Sportsman, Howell Rod and Gun, Chelsea Rod and Gun, there's like Tri-County Sportsman's League. There's a lot of places that you can do, and it's a social experience as well. We'll talk about more when we get back. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at WAM Talk 1600. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Wham! Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And one of the things that I had mentioned, I think last week just a little bit, was that gun magazines are cool. Not magazines like in bullet-holding devices, okay? Cartridge-holding devices. I'm talking about I get a couple of magazines that are very reasonably priced. One is called Firearm News, and it's kind of fun. It has, it's a weekly, I think, and it comes with, there are stories on politics and stuff, but what's new in the industry, and a lot of, I want to say also, reviews of some oddball guns sometimes and some old guns sometimes and stuff, just like Guns and Ammo magazine. And you might think, oh, gosh, that's so old. Well, Guns and Ammo has been around for a long time, just like American Rifleman's been around a long time, which is the magazine for the NRA. But I want to say they have a lot of neat stories, and they go into history of certain guns, and they go into history of maybe firearms that were used for certain battles or wars. It'll have stories about safaris, and usually I always like, there's on the last page, there's, you know, some editorials, and there's this old gun that's actually in National or American Rifleman, but they'll have a story about a gun, or there'll be a guy who talks about a gun that was handed down from his father or uncle or something like that, and just neat stories, and it's good reading, and it's and it reminds you of the things that, actually, like we were talking about with Jim from Chelsea, who we were talking about, he remembers going out hunting with his dad and his air guns. I remember shooting with my papa. Okay, so those are all kind of good things about, and sometimes magazines like that can help bring out those things, along with books, too. There's a lot of books. When Ed from Ypsilanti called in, and we talked about some series and stuff. Now, some of them are, you know, fiction and stuff, but there's a lot of good books out there on, oh, the history of Winchester or Remington, or, you know, I mean, just, I have one called Bill Ruger and His Guns. It's like a coffee table book. It's so neat with all the cool pictures. So there's a lot of fun things like that. And, you know, they're not necessarily expensive. Not only can you get them at, like an Amazon or at a bookstore, you can find a lot of times these things. There's an outlet called Ollie's, which is the old Ollie Fretter, and he has a store here in Ann Arbor at off of Hewitt and Michigan Avenue there. I forget what it's called, but whatever that shopping center is called. And they have a lot of, like, those big coffee table books or the history of guns or something like that. And there's actually a periodical that comes out every year called the Gun Digest. So it'd be 2021 Gun Digest. Everything that's new, a lot of neat old stories. And actually, I not only get them used typically, but I went back, and you can get ones from, they're like $19. It's like a big, thick catalog. Remember what a catalog is? Like that Sears catalog? Okay. Big, thick catalog, but you can actually get them, like, you older ones on Amazon. Like, if you missed 2019s or 2017s or something, you can go back and get it, and it's only like $7 or $5 or something. So it's kind of a neat thing to get. Gun cleaning stuff is always needed. Consumable items like gun oil and solvent and patches and rags are always needed, okay? And all you got to do is be able, those are the things that aren't typically locked up. So what you can do is take a nose around in your, the gun shooter, look at their workbench and see what, maybe Hoppy's number 9, maybe Tetra cleaner, maybe Gun Slick, maybe whatever. But some of those materials, those are things that you're always buying for yourself. And if you get it for somebody, it shows that you're interested and supported and supporting their interests and endeavors. Okay. Another thing that's kind of neat is called an ultrasonic cleaner. Now, this looks like a little, like a toaster kind of size thing. And it's like for jewelry, like they have at a jewelry store and stuff, but it's for guns, okay? And I have one, a Hornady ultrasonic cleaner, and I have it has actually, I have regular degreaser and gun cleaner, and I've got some special ones that I can use for jewelry. You can clean watch bands or electric razors and stuff like that with it too. But it is a good thing to get down, and you can actually in some cases you can clean items because it has this ultrasonic vibration, and it will. Now you got to be careful with some things because if you do it too often, you can actually start wearing out things, pieces and springs and pins and stuff like that. But if you got hard to clean areas of a gun, it'll get in there. Typically, handguns are the pieces. Like you might take a firing mechanism out of a rifle and you could put it in there. The trigger control group you could put in there, not even disassembled, and be able to clean it. Let's see, a magazine loader. Okay, now this might be something that they already have, but having an extra one is always a good thing. And I'll give you the name. It's called a UPLULA, Up Lula. Okay, Up Lula. And I don't even know what that stands for, but I just know that the company is outstanding, and they make these loaders to help. If you've ever gone shooting with that person that's a gun person, and they go, what do you want to shoot? Oh, I want to shoot 9mm. And they go, okay, well, here's a box of ammo, and here's the magazine. And you're going, man, this is tough, especially when it's like a 15-round magazine, and by the time you get to number 10, it's like, oh, man, and then you break a nail, and then you slip, and you cut your finger, and stuff like that. So this Up Lula is a device that you use that you put over the top of it, and you squeeze it and push down, and it makes a place to put the round in. And it makes it so easy to load a magazine. If you get an Up Lula magazine loader for somebody, they will absolutely know that you care about their well-being and their fingers, okay? They make them in different sizes. They make ones and little loaders. Like if they're shooting only a .22, then you have to get something that is made for that size ammo. But the ones that are for 9mm and 40 and 45, typically they're universal. So if they're shooting regular handgun stuff, handgun rounds, then kind of a universal Up Lula would be a good thing to get. Let's see, what else we got? Oh, I mentioned this. I think it was off the air when I mentioned it to Theron last week. There is a, and this is from Amazon, believe it or not. It's called Genuine Fred Freeze Handgun Ice Tray. It's a silicone ice tray that you can, you put in your freezer, you fill it with water, and you put it in your freezer, like the old days before all our refrigerators had ice makers in them. And it freezes into little handgun-shaped ice cubes that you can put in your drink, okay? Now, normally guns and alcohol do not mix, okay? But if you want a bourbon on the rocks, let's say, what could be, and this is after you're done with your all your range time and your shooting and stuff like that, and you decide you want to have a bourbon on the rocks, which, by the way, that radio show is still on. I hear the, what time is that on? That's like 5 o'clock in the morning, isn't it?
Yeah, it's from 5 to 6 on Sunday mornings.
Yep, bourbon on the rocks, okay? Well, I can't imagine a better rock to have that bourbon on than a handgun-shaped ice cube. So so look it up. It's on Amazon, Genuine Fred Freeze Handgun Ice Tray, okay? Then I want to say one of the things that I think is very neat is electronic shooting earmuffs, okay? And you go, well, why do you need that? Well, I want to say earmuffs and hearing protection is absolutely essential when you're shooting. I know I have hearing loss, okay? I have hearing loss from riding tractors as a kid, from working around airplane engines for 10 years, okay? and from shooting guns, okay? Because back when I was a kid, we did not think a whole lot about hearing protection, okay? Especially on the tractors, all day long on a big diesel tractor out in the field, you know, with that roar. And by the way, if you had a tractor that had a radio on it, you had it even bigger, because these were not tractors with cabs on them, okay? And same thing around guns. We shot all the time, and we didn't, you know, oh, sure, it stung a little bit, but, you know, be a man, man up. Well, that's stupid, okay? You should wear hearing protection, and otherwise you're going to be wearing hearing aids when you get older, like I do, okay? Well, if you're especially with youngsters out shooting, you want to make sure that they're protected because you're trying to get them started right. And if they don't, they will not shoot a gun unless you've got a earmuffs on them. It'll be just like how all the kids nowadays won't ride in a car without a seatbelt on them. It becomes second nature, okay? So there's a company called Howard Light. Howard and then L-E-I-G-H-T, and they have several different models, and they just came out with one that I think is kind of neat because they now are coming in two sizes. They're recognizing, and different colors as well, but they're recognizing that not all people are the same. So where they always usually had, you know, adult ones and they had child-type sizes ones, for little heads, they now are making adult size in medium and large. So if you are, you know, or maybe a smaller head, or you or a woman, then it makes sense to get the right size. The other brand that I like in terms of hearing protection is called Peltor, P-E-L-T-O-R, and they're made by 3M. Peltor was a company, a standalone, and then 3M bought them because they're so good. And they have one called a Tactical 100. All of these are in the price range of $80 to $100. So I want to say, now there are some really outstanding ones made called a Golden Ear up in, I think they're out of Traverse City or something like that. But they those are like $300, $400 ones. But I'm talking in this gifting size range. Ones that are $80 to $100, okay? Let's see. Range bags are a good possibility. Take a look to see. I just had to replace one. My favorite small range bag, the seams actually just wore out on. So now I've moved up to a next size larger one, which is actually too large for me, and I'm going to get another small one. And the reason is there's... First of all, sometimes you look and you go, man, that's a cool range bag. I'd really like that. Look, it's got room for, 10 handguns and 47 boxes of ammunition and stuff. And then you load it up and it weighs 75 pounds, okay? So big is good for if you're transporting something, but not for taking it to the range, okay? Because when you are actually going to the range, you're probably going to take a couple of guns, a couple of handguns, or maybe a couple of handguns and a rifle, and then the ammo for it, it'll load up to be 10 or 20 pounds. That is about all you want to carry when you are going to a range. So resist buying somebody one of these monster ones. It's like 3 feet long by 2 feet wide and thinking, oh man, that'll be great, because remember, guns and ammunition are heavy, okay? So you want to keep it to be reasonably sized, okay? Now, every year I talk about this a little bit, and that is gun tools, okay? I'm not talking about, you know, the gun cleaning supplies, like swabbits are cool. You know, patches are cool. They make all sorts of neat things to make it easier. Bore snakes are really neat. A bore snake is like a piece of rope that has bristles embedded in it, and it's you pull it through the barrel. It makes it so easy to do a quick cleaning job at the range, okay? But I'm talking about tools that are used to take apart guns, Okay. Now, the reason I'm mentioning this is because you may think, oh, well, I'll get him some screwdrivers, because he needs screwdrivers, and he's always complaining about screwdrivers, and I use them for opening paint cans and things like that. So yeah, they get messed up, and I'll go get him a new set of Craftsman screwdrivers. Oh, I really like Craftsman screwdrivers. Okay. However, they are not for gunsmithing, okay? What you need for screwdrivers are called hollow ground screwdrivers. And the reason that you buy them, and there's some neat companies that make them. You can look them up and get them from Amazon, or look into a Google search on them, or get them at the local gun store. There are ones that have wood handles, like old-fashioned wood handles. They're really cool. There are also ones that are like where they have just a single handle that's got a magnetic bit holder, and then it's got special hollow ground bits. Now, hollow ground, let me explain this to you. They are ground. Like, imagine that it's a slotted screwdriver that's, you know, just like a normal blade screwdriver. But a normal screwdriver, like a Craftsman screwdriver, as soon as you get back from the tip of that blade, it starts to expand. It's tapered. It's shaped like a wedge. And so what happens is, if you start to put torque on it to loosen or tighten that gun screw, it tries to wedge itself out of the slot. And there is nothing worse, I hate this, than looking at a gun that has boogered up screws. Now, that's a highly technical term, boogered up. I think everybody knows what that is. That's where somebody has tried to turn a screwdriver, either loosening something or tightening something, and the blade has slipped out and it's, you know, misshapen the slot. Oh, I hate that. If I ever get a gun that has something like that, first thing I do is I take that screw out, and if I don't have a replacement for it, which is a lot of times it's an old antique gun, and so I wouldn't have I like to keep the original screwdriver, but I will file it and sand it, and I will reshape that top, and then I will blue it or whatever I need to do to get the color correct on it, and put it back in, because I can't stand boogered up screws, okay? And neither can any gun person, okay? When you look at that, you go, oh, no. So a set of hollow ground. Now, hollow ground, what they are is that the end on that slot where it comes out is perfectly parallel. The edges of it, they're not wide, they're not tapered, they're perfectly parallel for that last quarter inch or so of that screwdriver. Now, it does widen out farther back to a square or a circle or to the bit driver, but out there on the tip of that blade, the edges of it are perfectly parallel, and that's to make it so that that screwdriver, when you put it in that slot and go to turn it, it tries to stay there, okay? So that's an important thing. Another thing that is important is pin punches, okay? A pin punch is, I want to say, sometimes you'll see people trying to use anything. They'll use a screwdriver. They'll use a center punch to try to punch out a pin that's holding something in the gun. Well, what you really need are a set of pin punches that have a long parallel cylindrical punch, further back, it'll taper out. But the idea is, and by the way, the reason that you want to buy them from a gunsmith is they will be good steel, okay? You can get a set of pin punches for $399 at Harbor Freight, but they will not be the kind that hold up, okay? They are not as sturdy. They're not the tempered metal and the high-quality steel that they need to be used in this application, because you don't want the ends of it to, you know, mushroom out and expand and get boogered up. So what you do is you get a good set of pin punches. Then there is also a set of punches that are called roll pin punches. Oh, man, do I need a special pin punch for a roll pin? Yes, you do. A roll pin or a tension pin is a piece that is a little spring-loaded pin that tries to expand, and it locks into place, okay? Well, to push those out, you need a special punch that actually has a little center that goes in the open center of that roll pin, and it stays there, okay, instead of, drifting around and stuff. So, yep, you need to have a set of drift punches or pin punches, and you need to have a set of roll pin punches. These are all the things that they're going to, you're going to get it for your gun person. They're going to go, how did you know that I need these? And you can just go, oh, a little birdie told me, but it was from listening to Trigger Talk, okay? Gunsmith hammers. Yes, they make gunsmith hammers. They are little hammers that have replaceable ends on them, and the replacement ends are brass or steel or plastic, okay? And it's so that you can knock out pins and drift out things like, front sights and dovetails, rear sights and dovetails and stuff without marring up and boogering up the sheet metal or the receiver and stuff. So typically they'll be medium and small size, because sometimes you just need a little bit to just tap, but it'll have replaceable tips on them that are brass, steel, or plastic, okay? So that is a neat thing. Also, it's a good idea to have a decent ball peen hammer, because you shouldn't be using the carpenter's kind of hammer when you're tapping out things. Before I run out of time, I'm going to go down to a tool called a bench block, okay? A bench block can be made out of metal, might be made out of polymer, a real strong plastic, let's say, a nylon-filled polycarbonate or something like that, that they have holes and grooves in them. Well, why do you need that? Well, let's say that you've got a gun that you need to push a pin out of, okay? Well, if you tap on it, where's the pin going to go? It's going to come out the other side, but you've got to think about, where does it go? Now, maybe you got some holes in your bench that you can put it over, but a bench block has different size holes, and big ones to small ones, and grooves and things like that, that will allow you to place that handgun or the receiver or the rifle or whatever over this over the hole, and tap out with your pin punch that pin, or the roll pin punch that roll pin, and it'll drop down into that hole, and then it is a safe way. It doesn't go flying. You haven't damaged your receiver. A lot of things like that. Another thing is gunsmith vice is fun to have. I'm just looking to see, and I was going to mention a Keystone Arms Mini Mosin Nagant, but that'll have to wait. This is Dick Kupke, and I am enjoying having 2 hours with you every Saturday, and this is the final hour of the year now, so we'll get ready to start out 2022 with a new Trigger Talk Radio and a two-hour format just like before, and I'm looking forward to working with you all over the next year. Everybody have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600. Happy New Year.
Christmas bells, ring out from the land. lights. He reached for the trigger to pull it up tight. Why he didn't shoot, well, we'll never know. Or was it the bells from the village below? Christmas bells, those Christmas bells, ringing through the land, bringing peace to all the world and goodwill to man. The Baron made Snoopy fly to the Rhine and forced him to land behind the enemy lines. Snoopy was certain that this was the end when the Baron cried out, "The Baron then offered a holiday toast, and Snoopy, our hero, saluted his host. And then with a roar, they were both on their way, each knowing they'd meet on some other day.